I would like to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We continue to look at the passage we began last week, and in an effort not to be repetitive, I simply want to say that last week when we looked at this remarkable and historic passage, we considered the fact that there were some things that were right about the church. There is a lot negative said about the church, and has been for, I guess, throughout the church's history. And if you just listen to the news, so to speak, you would think there's nothing right about the church. But the fact is, we need not only to tell the world that there is something right about the church, but we need to remind ourselves that the church is God's institution. God founded the church. And it is upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the witness, the testimony of the apostles and the prophets, that this church is being built. Not the Park Hills Baptist Church, not the Methodist Church, or the Catholic Church, or the Presbyterian Church, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His church. So we have to be thankful for, and we can point to, the foundation of the church as one of those things that is right with the church. Not only that, but the reason that God created the church, the reason that the church exists today, is to expand the kingdom of God, to carry the message of the gospel to a lost world. We were commissioned with the responsibility of spreading the word of God by making disciples of all nations. So we're not only thankful for the foundation of the church, but also for the function of the church. Now would you stand as we read together from God's word as we look at the final part of this study. Now, verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. May God bless our reading of his word, and you may be seated. I like outdoor stores. Have I told you that before? I don't care how small it is or how big it is. It can be one of those billion-dollar industry stores. Or it can be the mom-and-pop store out in the country near the river. I like outdoor stores. And I like outdoor stores because there are things there that I appreciate, that I enjoy, things there that I crave at times to have. I like outdoor stores. Another reason I like outdoor stores is because, well, frankly, I like the people who go to outdoor stores. We have things in common. You can be walking down the aisle of an outdoor store and somebody who doesn't know you, never saw you before, will hold up an item, we'll call it a whopper plopper, and tell you about the biggest fish he's ever caught on that whopper plopper. I like that. We have a lot of things in common. We call that, in biblical terms, fellowship. Fellowship. You see, one of the great things about the church that is right about it, and it has always been right about it, is that the church is the place and the people who share things in common. They have something in common. Jesus says here in chapter 16, for the first time, the word church. Now, the word church is an interesting word. It's the combination of the Greek preposition ek, which our word exit comes from, ek, out, and the Greek verb kaleo, I call. So the church are the people who have been called out. And this is Christ's church. He says, upon this foundation I will build my church. So we are called out by Christ. We have that in common. We all have a unique but similar call from Jesus Christ. We share that in common. As the church was expanding, recorded in the book of Acts, we see how this commonality played out in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Luke writes, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. That word is koinonia, and it literally means common. They shared things in common, but what did they share? Read on. To the breaking of bread and prayers, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, listen to this, and had all things in common. This was their fellowship. This was the commonality. This was the similarity between all these people of different backgrounds, ages, residences. These people shared something, and literally everything, it says, in common. Now, some want to focus on the common sharing of possessions for the betterment and improvement of people's lives. And there's no doubt that's a part of what is implied here. But what is obvious is that what they shared was a faith in Jesus Christ. It was upon the faith that Jesus was building his church, the declaration that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we have made that declaration, we have committed ourselves to follow Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, everything that defined us before is behind us, and the only reason we exist and act is for the purpose of following Jesus Christ. Therefore, we share all things in common. In every generation, throughout the history of the church, there has been that kind of fellowship for those people who are in Christ Jesus. When we come to Christ, we are made new. The things we had craved, longed for, desired, have been replaced with a new craving, a new longing, a new desire. And that desire is to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, as much as I like to go into outdoor stores, and I do, I like the church because it is here that I experience a family, a group of people who share a DNA. We have all things in common. That is, all things that drive our life. So the church can be grateful for, and we should be willing to boldly tell the world that the things that are right about the church include the foundation of the church, the function of the church, the fellowship of the church, and finally, I want you to follow along in verse 18. Jesus says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now that's obviously metaphoric language. There's no indication that Hades has gates. But it is descriptive. And this description explains something. It tells us something in a word picture that we might not grasp otherwise. Charles Spurgeon used to say that illustrations in a sermon are like windows that let the light in. And so this metaphoric language lets the light in. It lets us see the church in a different perspective. You see, the church is moving forward. The church is somewhat like an army, but we're not battling people. We are battling an enemy. An enemy who has taken prisoner, who has made prisoners of war of people, and we are going to those concentration camps where these prisoners are being held and tortured, and we are breaking down the walls, breaking through the gates to release these people by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the church is not in defensive mode here. The gates of hell are stationary. They're not marching forward. The church is marching forward. And no matter how tightly or how securely Satan thinks he has bound sinners, he has not bound them so that the gospel cannot release them. Or as the scripture says, loose them. Every one of you, every one of us, we're bound by the chains of sin. And while we may have struggled to release ourselves, we couldn't. We may have sought some other means of freedom, maybe through a new philosophy or a new way of life, so that even though we were bound, we could feel free. But the liberty that is promised by other means never sets one free. It is only Jesus Christ and His gospel. Of that, Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Verse 18 is talking about the faithfulness of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so easy for us to be distracted and deterred. It is so easy for us to be deluded and diminished. The very thing that makes us unique in this world can be lost. And it can be lost by our giving it away. We are here, established by Jesus Christ, owned by Jesus Christ, with a purpose. And the purpose is to penetrate the darkness of this world with the light of truth. Our purpose is to bring flavor or savor into this world by being salt in a world that is tasteless. But if we are not sharing the light, if we are not being the salt of the earth, well, Jesus said we're worse than worthless. We're despised and rightly so. How can the church give up this purpose? It's very easy. It's very subtle. And of course, it's the objective of our enemy to get us off task, off purpose, off mission. One of the ways that that happens in our day, and perhaps throughout Christian history, is by suggesting to the church that it can become more attractive to the world, somehow appealing to our pride, our desire to be approved and appreciated, our longing to be accepted. And so we look for things that might bring that approval. Perhaps if we did things that were good for the world, like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, visiting the prisoner. And yes, Jesus commended every one of these things. But while we are doing those things, let us never lose sight of why we are here. We are here not to simply comfort people in their need. We are here to release people from their bondage, to bring life to people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, to bring vision to those who are blind. Our purpose is a purpose that no other institution on the face of the earth has been given. And I want you to understand something, church. You cannot speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world in contradictory means and expect the world to understand the gospel. You see, our calling is to come out from among them, to be separate, said Paul, as saith the Lord. Our separateness makes us unique. Our separateness is one of those things that binds us together in fellowship. But if we are not out of the world, called out of it, removed from the darkness and the evil of this world by virtue of our following Jesus, then we have nothing to offer this lost world. We don't advocate hate. But telling someone their problem and showing them the solution to their problem is not hate. Can you imagine a doctor knowing you have cancer, doesn't want to hurt your feelings, and never tells you your problem and the possible solutions to your problem? Wouldn't that, in fact, be more hateful than telling the truth? I don't know who said it. I don't know how it came to be. But we live in a culture. We live in a nation that has ascribed this month as Pride Month. It couldn't be better named. Because that is the root of the issue in this world. And that is the sinful bondage with which every person struggles who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Church, we are faithless if we are not confronting the darkness, if we are not beating like a battering ram against the gates of hell and seeking to release those who are bound by sin. We hate no one. Because we've been called by Jesus Christ to follow Him. And Jesus Himself told us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If that's hate speech, according to the world, let's speak it from the rooftops. Let's shout it until there is no energy left, until the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel declares that the Lord Jesus is calling us home. Let the church be the church, because that is what's right about us. We have the right foundation, the right function, the right fellowship, and by the grace of God, the right faithfulness to take this task to its completion. Would you pray with me?